personality, we said, with, interestingly, either the child revived by Elisha, the Isha Shunamit, or as one of the Mishratim of Daniel. And the reason for this is not only in order to show that he has the same spirit, but also, if you think about the story for a minute and you're wondering, if the Navi goes out of his way to tell you that the child of Isha Tzarfati, the child of Isha Shunamit survives, it's almost also, just to remind you of methodology of Midrash, Midrash is trying to teach you messages, but there's another role, and that is filling in the blanks. Anna, there's a big blank. Who are these significant children for whom Nevi'im went out of their way and whom Hashem ultimately allowed almost a second life? It must be that the child of the Isha Tzarfati, that the child of the Isha Shunamit, if they had the schut really to live again to be revived, then they must have made something of their lives. Right? I don't know if you've heard any of the commentaries around the release of Gilad Shalit, but many psychologists were talking about the awesome role now, the responsibility that he has on his shoulders, basically to live up to all the expectations, that if Medinat Yisrael was willing to free again thousands of terrorists with blood on their hands, then this person really has to do something with his life, right? Again, that's what's going to be like the poor boy, right, that notices. So too, don't worry, the child of the Tzarfati, who did he end up being? Yonah, the child of the Isha Shunamit, who did he end up being? Did he make something of his life? I would say so. This is Habakkuk. So notice that to a certain degree, this could also be not only the motivation for Chazal, but maybe it tells us something about the personality. And by this I mean not only the chutzpah that we spoke about yesterday, but at the same time, Gena Chavakuk, who's living during all this evil, and he's wondering, can some good come out of this? This is what bothers him so much. So with this, we continue with Perek Bet. We began, Al Mishmarti Emoda Bet Yatzva Al Matzor. Then now he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again the precedent we set for Choni HaMa'agil, I'm going to stand on my watch guard, and I'm going to stay fortified, which is the reason why I showed you the stance like this. Again, in the sense that it's not simply he's saying, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to wait for an answer and I'm not going to deliver a nevuah in the meantime. He's saying, I resist this. I disagree with this. You cannot tell me to deliver another nevuah of oppression to Am Yisrael. So I'm going to wait. And there's a certain confidence here that Habakkuk is so convinced that Hashem really will give him a response. Uma Ashiv, and he's already anticipating what he said, what he's going to answer. Al Tochachtifra, Hashem rebukes him. Note then the irony that on one hand he says, Hashem's going to rebuke me. What do you think Hashem's going to rebuke him for? You're a Nabi, Hashem give you a Nabuah. What are you supposed to do? Yeah. Deliver that Nabuah. Hashem's probably going to say, excuse me, like he said to Yonah, then Hayitev Charalach. Again, is this really good for you? You want to just stay in this passive-aggressive state? Or, and the other tochacha can simply be, Sheman Yul Chavakuk, for even questioning my ways. He says, I already know what I'm going to answer God. And obviously we're going to stay, I would say, in touch with this, or looking forward to Perek Gimel. But let's continue Pasuk Bet. Vayaneni Hashem, this is where we left off. Hashem Kolam Kol really gave him an answer, which to a certain degree justifies this behavior, if you weren't convinced already from Abraham and Moshe. Vayamak Tov Chazon, Uva'er Agaluchot. This is a very interesting phrase that you should be familiar with from other Nevi'im, especially Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Write down a Chazon. We already spoke about this with regard to the terminology of Yishayahu. Do you remember on Shabbat when we learned Chazon Yishayahu? A Chazon is a specific terminology of Nevuah that generally connotes a long-term future. So write this down, meaning this isn't going to be like one of the Acharit Hayamim Nevuot, and by this I mean, remember we discussed Acharit Hayamim means for that generation, really? And I want you to transcribe this on tablets. By the way, this is the ancient way that they used to write, right? Papyrus was very expensive. It actually came, again, near the Greek cities at the time. So instead, they had different tablets. Uva'er al haluchot, and I want you to inscribe this again for posterity. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying the message I'm giving you is not just a particular message in this case, but ultimately a universal one. Laman yarut korebo, so that whoever is running to find an answer for the questions of the Odyssey that you're bringing up, Habakkuk, this is going to be an answer. Now, the reason I'm very particular in using the term unanswer is because I mentioned that this question comes up a few times. Moshe Rabbeinu brings up the question, Hashem, Gena, how can you just distance yourself from your people? Who remembers? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer then? And Moshe says, I'm not leaving. Gena, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem answer Moshe? Okay. Right, basically Hashem almost gave in to Moshe and said, the only way we're going to do this is by revamping our relationship. What do we call that answer? Yugimu Mitot Rachamim. And here we find that Hashem says, okay, I can have a relationship with you. And not only that, but when you complain that it's too difficult, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Am I a God who's good? And these are the questions of the Odyssey. A God, again, Rabbi Kroll brought this up, a God who is all good. And this is what Habakkuk is asking. How could he create evil? How could there be evil? And if God ultimately is supposed to bestow good, and we believe in a system of justice, right? So, again, Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu is, number one, they deserve this. But you're right, I also am a God who does allow for goodness. And therefore, I am going to bestow extra kindness, right? The Yugam Umidot Rachamim, showing that Hashem is not just a Kelkana, but basically revamps the Brit. Okay, that's number one. How about Avram Avinu? What's Hashem's answer to Avram Avinu? Hashofet kol aretz lo yaseh mishpat, also very chutzpidik type of aggression towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does Hashem answer Avram Avinu? By the way, is Hashem happy? Almost. And many other parshanim even explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was anticipating this response of Avram. He wanted Avram to engage in different issues of justice and social law. And so, what's Hashem's answer to Avram Avinu? He says, wait a second, you can't destroy a whole city. What does Hashem say? Okay, so argue with me. Show me why I can't destroy a whole city. What does Avram argue? Is there even 50, 45, 43, 20, 10 tzaddikim betol chayir? You can't destroy the city. Why not? Because there are good people, and you can't destroy good people, even if there are bad people within the city. Do you see this? So Hashem says, okay, you're right. Less than 10, by the way. Can anyone tell me? We learn, yes, some of the ideas of Minyan. We also learn a little bit about, psychologically, the sphere of influence. Again, when it comes to 10, so we have answers there. How about Eov? How many of you have learned Eov? Excellent. Yefe? Okay, where's your Bora? Oh, no, you weren't in the Chabura. Okay, basically, Leah, do you remember? Again, we rushed through the end, but do you remember the end of Sefer Eov when Hashem answers Eov's cries? Why are you doing this to me? What's Hashem's answer to him? We're going to see that it's probably most similar to this. He posed questions, and then he posed questions that basically show Eov that you don't know, again, the broader picture of things, right? What's that movie that, also the guy who... But thinks it can be God, right? The bar is laughing because I mentioned too many. Thank you, Bruce Almighty. Achon again, and the whole point is, right? Remember the emails? He just goes crazy. No one saw this movie. Mm-hmm. Better than Batman, yeah, for sure. Yes. Anna. So basically, okay. Be very careful with your ethnic identity. And of that, sure enough, the idea in Eov is Eov. Again, you're just seeing such a limited scale of things. By the way, does that really answer what happens to Eov? No, and that's why Eov is much deeper than you think. But, again, still, that seems to be a standard answer that we're exposed to in our, I would say, neophyte years of education. Take a look over here. And I just want you to recognize that each time there's an answer, it's relating basically to one of these three factors. God is good, there is evil in the world, and there's justice. So let's take a look and see what Hashem says. This is one answer. By the way, there is another answer that Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end in Parashat Hazino, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. What does that mean? That we really don't understand, and we just understand that everything God does is really good, and therefore even the evil that looks like evil is truly good. Again, these are obviously subjective terms, according to the Rambam. It's very Maimonidean. It goes back to Gan Eden. Let's take a look back to Pasukim Okeo Chazam Amoyed Vayachayach Lakeitz V'lo Yechazev. And this is going to be, again, revealing for the future. It does not lie, meaning this is going to be a universal answer. This is where we get the term, by the way. And isn't that amazing, all these terms that you're learning from Nebuah? Av al pi sheyit mameya, im kol zeh hachakelo. Im yitz mameya hachakelo. And even if one has to wait, he should. Even if one, again, is anticipating and waiting, it's worthwhile waiting for kivo yavo lo yacher, because it will come. And the parshanim debate here, what does that mean? Is he referring to the answer? But Hashem just said, I'm giving you the answer. So the answer is going to come, even if you have to wait for it. I thought you were giving it right now. So either he's giving Habakkuk a little bit of Musar over here. Again, you're waiting for an answer. I'm giving you your answer right away, but you should know that there are other potential answers. And even if you don't get it, is it somewhere out there? Yes, and we use this, by the way, as an answer to almost all religious queries, that are we ever going to find the answer to everything? No, but do we believe that there are potential answers for everything? Yes, again, we may not know it, and therefore you should be confident that maybe one day will come. The Rambam explains that what's one way to anticipate some of your answers to these questions? Learn. Just keep learning, right? And as we know, sometimes some of the answers come. That's number one. The other way of understanding, imi etzmamea chakelo, is that it's not relating to the actual question and an answer. Rather, Hashem is about to divulge to Habakkuk the answer to Habakkuk's frustration. And Hashem says, I'm about to resolve your frustration right now, but what I'm about to tell you isn't going to come right away. But it will eventually come, so be patient. What do we call this, by the way? This is the basis for Chazal to say that it's true that a lot of times you're going to see evil in the world. And maybe the evil in the greater scheme of things is really good. Anyone know what's another idea that's similar to this, but not exactly? Again, the question of Acher, Rav Elisha ben Avua, who sees the child going up, again, listening to his father, keep it up, amen, simultaneously, shuluach hakein, and when he dies. And again, he just doesn't understand. He said, these are the two mitzvot, l'man yarichun yamecha al adama. By the way, anyone know what the pshat is? L'man yarichun yamecha al adama, asher Hashem lokachem lotein lach? Just think of the psukim for a moment. That you can stay in Eretz Yisrael, right? Meaning, if you as a people might fulfill kibud avim and shiloach hakein, then you as a people can stay living in Eretz Yisrael, similar to which halachot? Shemitah, Yovel, right? Almost all the mitzvot atzuyot ba'aretz. What do you know? Even some non-mitzvot atzuyot ba'aretz will also help you live in the land of Israel on a national basis. So now, don't you feel better? Is it okay if individually sometimes people will die? Yes, but for the greater good, so to speak. And we have this in Shema versus Vayam Shemoa, the individual versus the national. So, again, yes, I keep on going on these philosophical tangents because Habakkuk allows for it. Because he basically is going to bring that and ultimately serve as one of the bases for our questions on the Odyssey. So could be Hashem is saying, but one of the answers, by the way, that was the tangent. What's the answer that the Gemara gives for Elisha ben Avua? How could this have happened to the child? Who remembers?
Olam Haba.
Olam Haba. It's true that for the short term, it looks really bad, but that's so that. In the long term, things can be very good. Right? Do you see this? So, one explanation. Already Hashem is saying, I'm going to explain to you how your frustration isn't really a frustration. You see bad, but again, your frustration will be resolved. Maybe not now, but in the long term, by the way. Does that help some people when we tell them, you know, you're going through a lot, but this way you'll have your Yisurim and Olam Hazeh, and ultimately you'll have a better life and Olam Haba? So Leah says no. And Devorah is nodding. Again, do you see this? That's exactly my point, by the way, that there are certain answers that I'm going to say certain people feel better about than others. And as we know this, sorry? In the Gemara. And that's why there are so many different explanations for everything, for good things and bad things. And, Barak, can I bother you just to turn that off? Thanks. I brought that to give you the number. Okay, here we go. Back to this. So Hashem says, so just wait for what I have to say, because you're going to see it will come true. It will come, again, either the question, the answer, excuse me, or, again, the actual picture of what I'm going to tell you. Notice that this is going to serve as a basic introduction. The person who, again, the person ultimately falls, that means that he was never good to begin with. Another famous phrase that you're familiar with. Whereas the tzaddik will live with his emunah. Meaning, the person who, and lo yashran nafsho, who never and really works on himself, will ultimately be downfallen, right? He ultimately is going to see demise. The tzaddik b'munato yichya. Again, the tzaddik, what is Hashem saying? It could be that he will live a very hard life. But will he live? Yes, he will live, again, with his emunah. Emunah that what? Emunah that in the end, everything will be worked out. Emunah that, can anyone give another explanation based on what we've been saying, that there's an answer? Yafem ma'od. Again, do you see this? Every pasuk is very deep here. Ba'af ki hayayin bogeid, and don't let the yayin distort your vision of things. What does he mean by this? Yayin bogeid, gever yahir v'lo yinveh. He says yayin, again, is very distorting. Now we know this, by the way, because yayin does what? It dulls your senses. So his basic idea is, again, that wine and distort. So just stay away from all these other delusional type of answers. That's one idea. But he's also talking about yayin in general. What do you associate wine with? We discussed a little first month in regards to Shir HaShirim. What?
Simcha.
Okay, you're right. Many of you use it as the cup of wrath of God that we just saw. Also, when you think of wine, what do you think of? Merry, wealth, right? Again, superficial associations of happiness. So, even though it looks that way, ki hayayin bogeid, gever yahir v'lo yinvit. Hena, the person who is arrogant will never really establish himself. Nave never really have his home. Asher hechiv kishol nefsho. He thinks he's so great. But notice the negative association here, like the sha'ol, like the grave, who come up at lo yisba. But really, again, it's like death in the sense that he's never satisfied. This we know is the beginning of the answer. What does Hashem say? He who is arrogant for too long, he was arrogant ultimately, again, the self-centered, the one who looks happy, and the one who thinks that everything is just fine, the one who's living content, is really just intoxicated, is really just in a state of delusion. What does that mean? Because he thinks that everything is fine. But really, if he thinks everything is fine, then that means he's quite arrogant. That's why Chazal say another interesting message that we find in the Sefer Brachot. Again, as soon as a tzara falls on a person, either nationally or individually, what's the response? Yifashfesh adam b'masav. That someone has to undergo introspection. Why? I don't know. Again, it could be, and this is an amazing phenomenon, it could be that why is Hashem giving this person some type of tzara? It could be because he's a just God and the person did something wrong, in which case he has to think, what did I do wrong? Maybe I burnt my tongue because I spoke Lashon Hara. It's a classic case. So, again, I should work on myself and stop speaking Lashon Hara. Does that mean that every time something goes wrong, it's because I did something wrong? And that it's a punishment? Does that mean that every evil in this world is really justice in the sense of man's understanding and appreciation of justice? That we did something wrong? Not necessarily. What else could it be? Not a punishment, but a challenge, right? To make us better people. To do something with this sarah. In which case, again, we're basically saying we're good people, but let's be even better people. Notice this, by the way. Can anyone tell me which is a better approach, right? To say this is a punishment or to say this is an opportunity, a challenge to be better. Anyone remember where the earliest time that you find this philosophical argument mentioned in biblical exegesis? Take a guess. Talking about something wrong. Sorry? Not by Cain and Hevel, because that seems clear. Not even Adam and Chava, interestingly. No, I'll give you a hint. The first time that we find this amorphous terminology of Nisayon. Very nice. Well, Kim Nisa at Abraham. Who remembers? How does the Rashbam explain the Kim Nisa at Abraham? It was a punishment. It was an onesh for him being so willing to give up some of the land in Brit Avimelech. Do you remember this? And the Ramban says, Nisayon me izalashon, nes lehipnoses. Don't say that it was a punishment. It was an opportunity. It was a beautiful opportunity. It was an opportunity for Avram to become a nace. What's a nace? A degel, a banner, right? To show his greatness in front of the rest of the world. Now notice this, by the way, I always say that, again, we find this machloket not only in Tanakh, not only in the Gemara, and certainly in works of Machshavet Yisrael, but in basic psychology, you find this also in Tehillim. And how many of you saw Ushpizin? See, I don't just see psychology. Yes. Do you remember in Ushpizin, right? The couple isn't sure. Do you remember Ushpizin? Hona, mama fria, lazug. כי אולי בזכות זו, נכון? כלומר, זה ניס, זה ניסיון מבחינת הזדמנות מצוינת. מה קורה? נכון, זה כבר כמעט הושענא רבה, נכון? ואז מה הוא חושב לעצמו דווקא בהושענא רבה? חושב בהושענא רבה ביום הדין, אולי למה אין לנו ילדים? Why don't we have children? Do you remember what happens towards the end of the movie? Right before she finds out, for those who didn't see it, I won't tell you what happened. Okay. But Gana, right before, on Hoshana Rabbah, on Yom HaDin, he realizes, wait a second, on Erev Chag, when he went to build his sukkah, there was wood outside. He thought it was Hefger, and he took the wood to build his sukkah. And then he realizes maybe it wasn't, so he goes to apologize to the person from whom, basically, he stole the wood, right? Which tells you that he's working on two planes simultaneously. Right, you all notice this when you watch the movie. Right, he's working on Ulaiza Nisayom Mibchinat Zanut, Ulaiza Nisayom Mibchinat Onesh. Maybe Hashem sent them these crazy orchim as an Onesh. Then, that being the case, let's turn back to Habakkuk. Don't worry, we'll go a little faster in just a moment. Yayayin Gogay. So, when you see, it means two things. When you see people living in a state of merriness, And don't let that dissuade you. Don't let that disillusion you. Because even though it seems he's living the grand life, again, he's really not. Again, because anyone who really thinks that they're living a grand life, what does that tell you about them? That they're somewhat arrogant, that they're complacent, that they think that everything is fine. But someone who's really, again, who's always wondering, maybe there's something wrong, maybe there's something wrong, again, won't have this arrogance. So he says, the yayin bo gei gever yahir v'lo yinved, that person will never really live a good life. And there's some person who even explained here that if he's living a good life and he's really not so good, then he's always wondering, maybe God will take this away. So even his anxiety takes away from, again, takes away from the happiness that he would feel. On the most basic level, though, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering Habakkuk with regard to his particular question of how could you bring upon Babylonian torture immediately after Assyrian oppression? So what does Hashem say? Don't worry. The haughty don't last. Can anyone now interpret this? Don't worry. I'm going to bring Babylonian torture, but I'll make you feel better. That's the answer. Tell on Israel that as soon as they get haughty, what happens? Very nice. Very nice. I'll destroy them. And all the ensuing psukim are all about the destruction of Babel. And on one hand, does that make you feel better? Guess what? You're going to go through a Shoah, but after that, there's going to be justice, and you're going to declare Atzmaut. Does that make you feel better? Anna? So Devorah the optimist, right, says, yes, right, I'll tell you, again, you may, and certainly on a national level, how about on a personal level? You may go through this Sarah, but, you know, you'll have a Simcha afterwards. Does it alleviate someone's oppression, right? Better than nothing, that's right. So on one hand, I could argue that this is a calming factor, right? I understand that. And Hashem says, it may not even come so quickly, but will it eventually come? Yes, that in thee, again, what answer is this? In the larger scheme of things, things will work out. That's like the Olam Haba answer, right? And are some people okay with this? Is this one of the classic answers based on Habakkuk? Yes, again, this is the basis from which Chazal extrapolate. Again, the idea of Olam Haba, the long term. Again, here's the answer to Habakkuk. I'd like, though, to read a little bit more into Habakkuk and show that, no, it's not just about the long term. He really is saying that even though it looks like the person is doing well, they're really not. And perhaps what else is he saying? That the person who's so arrogant in the end is going to be punished. Perhaps what he's saying simultaneously is, you think that Am Yisrael don't deserve this, guess what? Maybe it's not only the Babylonians who are arrogant, but also Bnei Yisrael. This is, again, there is a system of justice that's out there. Here we go, Pasuk Vav. What will happen ultimately? Hello, Ela Kulam Alam Mashal Yisrael. Eventually, what will happen to these people who are so arrogant is that people are going to compose Mashal Umelitza Chidotlo. You should be familiar with this terminology from Sefer. Thank you. Again, there's going to be sophisticated language and poetry that will be composed by Amar Hoi Hamar Belolo. And Matayu Machir Alav Avtit. People are going to say, oh, wow, look at what happened. Hello, Pata Yakumu Nashkecha. Yes, suddenly, the people come to bite you are going to come. Yiksumi Zazacha Beitalim Shisov Lamo. You're going to be trampled down. Ki Atasha Lota Goyim Rabbi. And because you yourself oppress other nations, Yishalucha Kol Yeter Amim. Now they're going to come to take your spoils. Mitmei Adam, the Hamas Eretz. From the land, from the cities within. So again, notice that when he says the word ata, it seems to be implying you, the Babylonians, who are taking the spoils of other nations, people will take your spoils from you. But maybe simultaneously, he's also speaking to Am Yisrael. Don't you get it? There's a larger picture, Habakkuk. You think that it's unjust, but actually, in the larger scheme of things, Am Yisrael deserve this. But don't worry, the ones who oppress them will also be punished. And we discussed that it's a little difficult. We brought this up in Nahum, because if Hashem wants the Babylonians punished, then why are they punished? And we brought up all different possibilities there. Again, it's those people who take bribes and place their nest up high, who are so arrogantly not so mikafra, ya'atzta boshet leveitacha, tzotamim rabim v'chotei nafshecha. It's a shame. Pursue your arrogance. You're going to bring despair and embarrassment to your home. Ki even mikir tzak v'kafis me'etzianena. Even the stones of your house are going to scream out and say, no, don't do this, don't do this. Notice, by the way, all the different terminology of your home, your cane, your nest. Again, and then Mikir, the Kafis Mi'etz, basically telling you, Chaval, that you're building this home. Again, which obviously is an expression of confidence, an expression of solidity. That's right. Gena, that I'm founded. Oh, I thought that's what you said. No? Gena, what do you say?
Wait,
The house is a symbol
security.
Of security. Okay, thank you, Annie. Again, so the house is a source of security, and it's almost as if the security is saying it's a very unfounded security because we see what you're doing. Notice that it's specifically the terminology of a home, wherein, in the privacy of one's domain, one knows, again, the iniquities that one is performing. Pasuk Yubet, Hoy Banat Yer B'damim. So certainly, someone who builds a city out of others' bloods, out of injustice, V'chonen Kirya Ba'atla, and is going to establish places again. Lechan injustice. Halo hinei me'et Hashem tzvot v'yigo amim b'de'esh ulamim b'de'riki afu. Ultimately, the nations, such nations will be destroyed. So Habakkuk, I hope this makes you feel better. Yes, Am Yisrael will be oppressed, but those who oppress them, as soon as they're arrogant, and the reason I keep saying this is because the Chaldeans / Babylonians weren't destroyed immediately. It took, and from 605 till 538. By the way, that's a pretty short-lived empire if you think about it, right? That they really were only in existence for Yirmiyahu 70 years. Think about this. And keeping that in mind, and someone who builds this way, they will be destroyed. Ki temalei ha'aretz ladat et kvod Hashem k'mayim yachasu al yad. And I'm sure you're familiar with this terminology as well, because the ideal is that people should recognize the glory of God like water filling up the sea, meaning it will be so evident. And so shame to the one that ultimately makes one drink. Rafi hears the terminology from the cup of wrath, because then the evil is going to befall you. Savata kalon mikavod, you were so satiated, again out of your own respect. Shtega matza v'haril, so now it's time for you to drink and be poisoned. Tisova lecha kos yemin Hashem. After you made others drink from the cup of wrath, the cup of punishment, now God is going to make you drink it from his right hand, meaning God will personally serve you, v'ki kalon al fodecha, and abuse you for your honor. Ki hamas levanon yechaseka, v'shod behemot yechiyatan, v'me adam, v'chamas eretz, kirya v'chol yeshveba. Again, until your entire land is looted out. Maho il pesel ki psalo yotro. And now the question is, what is the root of such arrogance? So, lo and behold, all of a sudden, it seems that Hashem is jumping to an entirely different tone over here. And by the way, please remember, are these words to Habakkuk verbatim? Probably not. Again, why do I say probably not? From? Very nice, because I really know that every Navi gets to interpret the vision of God any way he wants to. Beautiful Tzvora. And I know that the only exception to this rule is really Yechezkel. Again, so chances are that Hashem gave Habakkuk and the broader message over here, and Habakkuk is putting it into these words. What is one of the sources of our arrogance? How could it be that the Chaldeans ultimately, and as you know, Daniel is going to rebuke Nebuchadnezzar for exactly this, the Chaldeans who rose from rags to riches, how could they eventually become arrogant? So now the Nevi is going to explain that part of the root of arrogance means that you don't attribute something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, you attribute it to all different sources of power. Now you're supposed to say, what do you mean if I attribute it to the sun? And then, that's not arrogant. That actually shows that I'm humiliating myself. But why would someone attribute something to an animate object as opposed to attributing something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean when you, again, philosophically, when you attribute some power to an inanimate object? What are you saying? Sorry? We call it Avodah Zarah, that's right, but how does that relate to arrogance? Why is it that if I say...
Deep down, you know that it's not...
Very nice. You see this? Beautiful, Batsheva, right? Deep down, I know that it's not a source of power. And but, so I really know that who should I attribute it to?
God.
To God, right? To a real force, right? But, and I'm not going to attribute it to that real force because then... If it's the real force who made me a world empire, then who am I? I'm really nothing. I'm a vassal. So I'd rather attribute it to
an inanimate
force, which tells me, okay, like I'll pay homage. You know, people do these things, like they go through the actions and they pay their service and their dues, but it's really about me, right? So based on this, we see that Avodah Zarah is really an expression of arrogance. This is significant because Yirmiyahu accuses Am Yisrael of the same thing. Oh, you're so arrogant, you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. Unless you think about it, we're not really sure what the association is. Mahu yil pesel kipsal lo yatro. So is the pesel really going to help you? You're so arrogant that you think it's from the pesel that you created? Masecha umore sheker. All these things that are truly lies. Kibatach yotzer yitzro alav. So the one who created it is going to place his trust in his creation, to create, and this is a beautiful play on words, to create mute gods. Isn't that interesting? That, if you think about it, all the psalim are mute, right? Why would people create a mute god? Are they out of their minds? I don't want a God to do what?
To tell me what to do.
To tell me what to do. And I don't want a God to rebuke me. And I don't want a God, right, who's really looking at me. So I'm going to have a God who, you know how, again, some people place chamtsot in their home? Right? What's the whole idea of the chamsa? Good luck. Right? Is that what you said?
No, I said what?
You don't know a chamsa?
You don't know a hand?
Yeah, the hands at home. Okay. I'll go. Yesh lomchem? Chamsa v'lay? Mitzuyan. Lama lo? Lemen, lama lo? Yafe, ki zah siman le... Lama zah lo? Yafe. No, I'm very serious.
If you believe
what
that that's what's
I've
giving
seen,
you good
I've
luck,
seen homes
you
where they go over to the chamsa and they mamash, they kiss the chamsa. Have you ever seen this? Why? Again, yeah, that. This is a source of good luk.
And you're
what's
attributing
the problem?
The power
why
to the
did I at least say shtuyot? What's the problem? Because I'm attributing, mamash, I've seen this. Like, oh, my daughter had a boy. Oh, let's go over to the chamsa and kiss the chamsa. Excuse me? No. What should you say?
Thank you, God.
Yes. And could that be very scary? Yes. So you have to be very careful. The Rambam says stay away from those things, please. Again, you can imagine that anyone coming from a more rationalist background will say that's very, very close to Avodah Zarah, perhaps even the red strings that people get at the kotel. I'm not going to get into this now, but yeah. Okay, here we go. So now, the very fact that they're making Elilim Ilmim, that's the source of their arrogance. They know that it's not them, so they have to attribute it to an outside force. But they don't want it to be the force of God, because that's going to go hand in hand with responsibility. Again, whether you want to call it mitzvot, whether you want to call it tfilot, whether you want to call it karbonot. Hoy omer la'et hakitza. The same people who say to the tree, come on, wake up. Uri la'evan domam. Okay, come on, you inanimate rock. Wake up, wake up. Do they really think that they're going to wake up, right? The famous Midrash, and which is based on Treyasar as well, the famous Midrash of Avram Avinu in his father's home, what you really saw, Terach, again, believes in this as well. And no, it's an idea of attributing it to an outside force. Who Yorehine, who Tafusa Havachasaf, all he is really full of gold and silver, he doesn't have a spirit, Hashem Be'achal Kacho, and Hashem, who ironically, by the way, this gives us a sense that Habakkuk really lived in. Remember I told you, look for these cues in Nevi'im? Because we have nothing, we have no knowledge about him, but I already have both a sense, by virtue of the fact that Hashem divulges to him Babylonian oppression. Who is Babylonian oppression going to affect? Not Yisrael, but Yehuda, right? Only Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Why? Because Yisrael's already out of the country. Nachon. And now here's another proof that he's from Yehuda. Amishmerti and Lodavit Yatva al Matsor seem to have given that away, but also the idea of mentioning Hechal Kacho. Has mi panav kol ha'aretz. Again, he is the true force. So basically, can anyone summarize for a moment, through Habakkuk's words, what mar'eh, what vision, what chazon Habakkuk received as an answer for his being bothered by what apparently seems unjust, unfair, in the realm of historical events to befall Am Yisrael? What's the answer? What does Hashem say? Very nice. Don't worry. In the broader scheme of things, there is justice. All those who are arrogant, until you said the Babylonians, but I think that you could also read into this for now, Am Yisrael, but all those who are arrogant, or all those who don't attribute their success to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to fall. So, again, you should be bothered. That's okay. But why should people stay from, even during Shavuot, even during difficult times? Because in the end, the good guys always win. What happened at the end of Batman, by the way? Batman won. Anna, see? Prove it. Anna, there. Now I don't have to see the movie. Thank you. Okay, here we go. Perikimel. So now, what is Habakkuk? Let's see if Habakkuk is really happy with his answer. As I mentioned, Anna, who does this? Do you mind if I ask? Just taking a poll for a moment. Who does feel better now about the basic questions of national theodicy? Anyone feel better? No one? You don't feel better knowing that? Oh, you felt better before.
Yeah, I think
so. But how many of you feel better after this answer?
Not at the current like,
very nice. It's a good thing to know, right? Is it a comforting answer? Do you think that would allow Habakkuk to deliver his nevuah? Now, what is he going to tell Am Yisrael? Guess what? I know you're under Assyrian oppression right now. Ashurbanipal is the coolest of these Assyrian kings. And I have some bad news. After the Assyrian oppression, guess what? We're going to go through another one, a Babylonian oppression. But the good news is that
I'm glad it's over.
after that Babylon. Oh, by the way, he doesn't say it's over. He just says the Babylonians will fall. Right? This is V'hisha Amda Labotein Ovalano, the various courses of history. I always wonder, and looking back, that and the truth is that Nevi'im talk about this, right? Yeshayahu always says, okay, so after Yehuda will be destroyed, 48 cities, don't worry, and then Mashiach will rise and everything will be wonderful. Does that make the people feel better? And simultaneously, he offers them tochacha, right? A means of tshuva, which is you just have to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see these recurring themes. I always wonder, again, remember I told you the story of my neighbor's father, right? Remember I told you Rav Weichmann, my married to Miriam Weichmann. Oh, no. Now I'm just forgetting the name of her father for a moment. אתה בטח מכירים את הסיפור הזה, נכון שהוא לא יכול להגיד את הברכה של הרב את מבינו כשהוא היה בשואה, ואז 25 שנים אחר כך הוא היה שם את הברית של הנכד שלו, ואמר אילו הוא היה יודע אז בשואה במחנות השמדה שהוא יהיה שם את הברית בירושלים, בבירת מדינת ישראל, אולי הוא היה יכול להשלים את הברכה. משהו. So, and I think back at that if you would know, if you would have told people in the Shoah, in 5 years, again, you're going to have Atzmaut, do you think that would have made them feel better? I think so. Yeah. I think so. Again, does that resolve your questions, though? No. Do you see that? And that's why I think it's important that you go back to the beginning of Perek Bet, where you see Hashem says, this is a possibility, and it may not even happen right away, and this is one of the answers, because we know that there are a few others that are offered in Tanakh as well. Let's continue. Tzvila l'chavakuk ha-navi al-shidyonot. How do I know, though, that to a certain degree, Habakkuk is okay with this? I'm not going to say completely resolved. How do I know that? What word tells me that he's not ecstatic? Tzvila. What does tzvila imply? Bakasha. Mitzuyan. But I'm going to be honest. Starting Pasuk Gimel, you're going to hear a lot of, oh, Hashem, you're so great, you're so wonderful, and it's so true. Okay, now, but Pasuk Bet is the Bakasha. You ready? And this is why it's Bila. What's Shigyonot? So when you understood Shigyonot, everyone with your translations before you, what does it say? Whoever has an NJPS or the Jerusalem Bible, Talia, what does it say on Shigyonot? So there are about 2-3 explanations. Perek Gimel, Pasuk, very nice. Pasuk Aleph. So Rafi yelled out the most common. Al Shigyonot seems to be a stringed instrument. Very nice. Again, Yafem Ot. So one is to say that he composed this, Mamash, as a song, that it's a Bakasha, but as soon as you know that he has a musical instrument in hand, what is it going to be transformed into? Halil, Shivach Lakadosh Baruch Hu, Yafem Ot. Again, what's another explanation? Exactly, Talia's. Again, Al Shigyonot. He said this on Shigyonot, either the name of a place or the name of. Sorry? Very nice. Or maybe a will. What else do we use Shigayon for today? Somebody can explain, perhaps Milashon. Shkaga, almost as if to say, I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right, I didn't see the broader picture of things, almost like the Eov answer, right, that there is a broader picture here. Hashem shamati shemacha, yareti, Hashem palcha bekerev shanim chayehu, bekerev shanim todia, beroges rachem tiskor. That's how I know the Pasuk Bet is a Bakasha. What does he say, Hashem? I heard what you had to say. And yes, indeed, I'm afraid. I see how you work, Gena, within the spectrum, the scope of one's life. And Bekerev Shanim Todia. What is he asking? What is his term, Bekerev Shanim Todia? Please let us know this sooner rather than later. Bekarov HaShanim. And not so far. What is he basically saying? Okay, I get it. The Babylonians are going to fall. Can you make this happen really quickly? Right, can it not be so long? That's number one. Berogez, and number two, when you do take out your wrath upon us, rachim to score, can you please not make it so bad? Right, so notice, is this a nice bakasha? Giving us the impression that, is Habakkuk somewhat resolved? Yeah, because he says, okay, it's almost as if he says, Hashem, I'll go ahead with this. I understand that you're going to go ahead with this, so I'm asking you, make it happen fast and, I would say, quick and easy. Right, again, as simple as could be. Now comes a little bit of the Shevach. Eloka miteman yavo. Because I know, Hashem, that if it's coming from you, then it really is going to come. So, now I am, and this is a beautiful idea of the self-expression of a Navi. You ready for this? Hashem apparently doesn't tell Habakkuk this. This is his poetic response. Hashem, you just told me about the destruction? So this is how I envision it. I envision you coming miteman yavo. Why do you think he says Hashem should come from the south? Where are the Babylonians attacking from? The north. But where did the Babylonians originally come from? this out. So someone says, Hashem, you're going to follow them. Again, the Kadosh mi Harparan Sela. And you're going to come all the way from Harparan. Anyone know really who he's quoting? Harparan, the Darach mi Seir Lamo. Moshe Rabbeinu, also the ends of, again, Hazinu Vizot Abracha. Kisa, by the way, the Kadosh mi Harparan Sela. Anyone know what Sela is? And this is why I really like this. Thank you. Sela is really the clash of symbols. And which sefer do you find this the most?
Tehillim.
Tehillim. Right? Giving you the impression that, and this is why, and most Parshanim really do read Shigyonot as an instrument. What is he doing? He composes a song based on this, telling you that, again, what is a song an expression of?
Emotions.
Beautiful. Is he completely resolved? So you have to get very emotional when you read Habakkuk. He's so bothered. He is super duper chutzpahdik. Hashem gives him an answer. Sorry?
He goes and writes a song about it.
And he writes a song about it. What's the idea of writing a song about it? What did Hashem tell him to do? Hashem told him, write it in stone. And he does what?
Sings it.
He sings it. What's the difference? My sense is he probably also writes it in stone. Why does he sing it instead of writing it in stone?
He feels it.
He feels it. He feels it. He wants to compose it. It's almost as if saying, I can say, again, I can really say, I can say, Ani ma'amin b'emunah shleima v'v'yatz Mashiach, v'achal pishit m'meya, em kol zeh ha'kalo v'chol yom sheyavo. What happens when you say it versus when you sing it? Yeah, that's right. Annie has all the hand motions. Again, it's true. Nechona medovavim mashu. Again, it induces, it elicits something more from you. Right? And that's exactly what he wants. He is going to tell this to Am Yisrael, but my sense is that how is he going to tell it? He's going to say it in song. Right? He's going to, almost as if, turn a tragedy into what? Into song. Okay. He's telling Am Yisrael, this is what's going to happen. Babylonians are going to come, and they're going to oppress you. But then Hashem is going to come. Just picture this in song. I really, one of these days, I do want to hire, like, a musician to, like, put this into, it's already rhymed and metered beautifully, again, to just compose something. I heard that they're putting together a Moshe Vasidi for the first time. Yeah? You know about this? So maybe I'll even ask David to do this. Okay. This should be, like, the leading Moshe Vas song. What do you think? Okay, now, so notice this. Okay, wait, Sela, who's our clash of symbols? Thank you. Beautiful Torah. He says, everyone is going to see the glory of God coming. By the way, you're going to notice that almost every pasuk and is borrowed from another pasuk, right? If you have an NJPS, thank you, lady, you'll see like on the bottom all the references to all the other svarim, because he basically is quoting earlier Nevi'im. And Hashem is going to shine karnayim yadolo, again like Moshe Rabbeinu came down with. Karnayim doesn't mean horns. Karnayim means rays coming out, v'sham chavyonuzo, and it will be so clear, his strength will be manifest. L'fanav yelech daver, v'yetzei reshek l'raglav, amman v'yimodeit eretz ra'av, v'yater goyim v'yipotutu, and now people will stand to his feet. People are going to come, amman v'yimodeit eretz ra'av, v'yater goyim. Again, the earth is going to be measured and shake. Goyim are going to retreat, v'yipotutu harurei ad, and mountains that were there forever are just going to like volcano blast. Are you excited? Shachul gva'ot olam. The hills are going to collapse. Halichot olam lo. Because the world is God's stage.
Is that where they get the name for the Avad
Yetzisra? Yafema'od. I was hoping someone would say, you're going to see a lot of names. Of Sfarim, of everything. Tachat aven ma'iti ohali kushan. Gena, under all this, and oppression, I have seen. Gena, what will happen to the tent of Kushan. So he's going to note that it doesn't just happen to Bavel. This is part of the cycle of Behisham Dalavotinu Volanu. Shelo achad levar amalinu chalotinu ala kadosh baruch hu. Shuv, v'shuv, v'shuv, v'shuv. Matzilinu miyadam. Yergazun yiriyot eretz midyan. Kushim midyan. Again, their tents, because obviously they are a Bedouin tribe. Again, so they're going to be cast aside. Havin harim chara Hashem. Imin harim mapecha. And where is the wrath of God in the streams, in the seas, and v'yam nevratacha ki terkav al susacha makvotacha Yeshua. Because God could ride on his horse, again, on his chariot of salvation. What is the association, by the way, of chariots and yam? Very nice. That if the waters are God's fury, then God rides his chariot, meaning God could survive his own fury. Can anyone else? No. Eryate or kashtecha shvuot matot omer sela. Dvorah. Thank you. Again, and these same streams representing the wrath of God can split the earth, which, by the way, really do know. And this is so cool. Any National Geographic fans? Thank you. All right, History Channel, at least?
No.
Yeah, you like it, Yankee? Thank you. kinds of boring. They're fascinating. Okay, anyone know, you know, when people talk about the Syrian-African rift, right, how? So, this was only, I didn't learn this when I was in elementary school, but my kids have learned this, which means that this discovery has only been made,
recently.
Fine, I won't say,
but
recently. Thank you, recently. Again, anyone remember how they used to think that what caused the Syrian-African rift, right, that allowed for all these water masses, right, what caused it? The Aridim is like the classic, right? You have the same mountains, Hare Moab, and you have Hare Eretz Yisrael, again, by Bekat Aridim, you have the Aridim in the middle. Nahon, Ech Lamat, and the Bid Sefer, Al-Ha. Thank you. Toda. What is it? Shever Hasuri Afriki. Afrikai. Nahon, Ech Lamat, and Magaram Lize, Lefne Milyonei Shana, Nahon. אז אתם ממש סעירים, כל הכבוד. יפה. יפה, so I learned it as, and you tell me if you learned it this way, as an earthquake caused it? No? You know, you learned it as the plates in the sea?
We just didn't learn it.
You didn't learn it? Okay, about Emma, did you hear what Ellie said? That they're really plates under the sea? That they're like continuations of mountains, which by the way fits in beautifully with Yonas Tfilah. And the idea here also of Harare Kedem, that the mountains extend all the way to the bottom of seas, and they're really plates, again, of these mountains, that it's almost like beams of a building, which fit in so beautifully with the way that it's described the creation of the world in Sefer Tehillim. And at the plates, what happened is that due to, really, it's not the land, but shifts in the sea, that the plates shifted. Isn't that amazing? And that caused... Exactly. It started really all the way from under, and that caused the separation on top. Come on, that's so cool. But now it helps you understand something, which means, by the way, should I scare you for a moment? The plates are always shifting.
It happened again.
You're saying that? I forgot. So I saw this, whatever it was, like 2 years ago, that it's going to happen. They give like a date for it,
yeah.
For when there's going to be another, like they already noticed that Ireland, that's what it is, or Iceland.
Iceland.
This I read. Iceland.
Yeah.
It's going to be another 1,000 years.
Thank you. Right, what is it, 110 years?
I thought it was a 1,000
years.
I just were going to show me that, you know, technically the Syrians shouldn't worry so much about the Golan Heights.
Did we see the same one? And oh, you actually saw this in Iceland?
Yeah, and there's a place no, up in the Golan.
In the Golan. Very nice. So, Iceland has moved about 20 miles in like 200 years, which is not a lot. I mean, it's a lot for a short amount of time. And it's like going to turn into an, you know, totally, like its own island, you know, one day. So too, the Golan Heights. That's right. I mean, it's just going to be... You know, that's right, probably in Syria. But it's okay, because it will be ours by then. Okay, here we go. So now, back to this. Why am I mentioning it? Because it fits in so beautifully over here. Hena naroti baka aretz. That through the seas, we always understand it as the seas will cause erosion and split the land. Now it has different meaning. Now, exactly, the land will split because of the fury of the seas. Isn't that cool? Something going on in the naharot. The mountains, again, are going to see this. They're going to start to shake. They see the waters flash through. By the way, it may not have to mean across the mountains. It can mean under the mountains. Natan tohom kolo. This fits in nicely also. The waters from underneath are going to thunder. Rom yadehu nasa. They'll lift them out. You really feel like volcanoes are going to crash. Oh, by the way, is this really a scene of an apocalypse? Is that what Habakkuk is saying? I don't know. He's composing a song. When you compose a song talking about the victory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the punishment of the other nations, how are you composing it?
Dramatically.
That's exactly what's going on. Shemesh Yareach HaMadzvula. The moon and the sun are going to say where they are. La'orach Yitzecha Ya'alechu. Basically, the spotlight is going to be on God's arrows. L'noga Barach Chanitecha. And again, the lightning will serve as your spears. The Zan Titzad Aret. So we have like a thunder of lightning, again, all these ocean plates moving, and simply with your ram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to stomp on the goyim, and then you will come out to save your people, to save your anointed ones, machatzta rosh mi beit rasha. You split the heads of the evil, arot yisod ad tzavar, sela. Thank you. Nakafta b'matav rosh chazan, yisaru lahafitzeni alitzutam, kmo lachol ani b'mistar. Again, crashing all those before. Tarachta bayam susacha, chomer mayim rabim. Going to come through, again, the waters with your horse. Again, you can just envision this, almost this dmut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but again, he's trying just to express the power of God. Shamati. And when I heard this God, And I myself. Again, he's giving the impression as if he's so confident this is going to happen, but tergaz b'tni, and my stomach, again, started clenching with fear. L'kol tzalulu svatai, to the words that were coming so clearly from my lips, yavo rakha batzamai v'tachtai ergaz, asher anuach liyom tzara. In the meantime, though, again, may my bones rot, so to speak, and I will wait until this day, la'alok la'am yehudenu, till you gather in the nation, our nation, ki te'ena lo tefrach, ve'en yavo bakfanim, because again, during this time, there won't be any food, again, either for the flock or for people. Notice the same frustrated chutzpah Habakkuk, and this is why we're going to prove that he really composed a song. Apparently, this is the nevuah that he chose to give Am Yisrael, and I will rejoice with Hashem. Agila the Lokeishi. And he's saying that despite all this, that's right, I will. Now, is he saying that now I'm happy? No, but I'm so confident that the day will come. And through the song, what is he telling Am Yisrael? Do not be arrogant. Again, you should not be arrogant either. Recognize that Hashem rules the world. And then I will be happy with the God of my salvation. Hashem Adonai Chili. Hashem is my, not just my salvation, but my strength. Vayasem raglai ka'ayalot. Hashem will make my feet, on one hand it sounds like reindeer, v'alba mutayat v'cheni, and he will be the one to lift me up on high places. Lamenatzea v'neginatai. This is a proof that it is for sure, a song.
That's what it sounds like.
What does lamenatzeach? So for those who are familiar in Sefer Tehillim, there are many lamenatzeach from the Temple of David. Very nice. And many explain as le netzach, right? To he who is eternal. Namely, that every mizmor is really dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pshat? Lamenatzeach to the conductor. Al Hashminit, please use the 8-string instrument. Lamanatzeach, gen mizmor la'asaf. Gen let the family of Asaf sing. Lamanatzeach b'nginot. This should be sung with, anyone know what neginot are? With harmonies, meaning sing it with various tones. There should be a harmony here. By the way, doesn't that make you miss it a little?
Yeah,
and these were like magnificent compositions. There's a book, you know, the Shema Kolenu, that there's a book where you press different buttons and it tells your kids like what the tefillot are. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's very popular now in America also. So they also have one for conductors. So I read it to my kids for them to be familiar with, I don't know, Beethoven's Ninth, and they have Chopin, and they have Bach, you can imagine. All them, like Yaakov really knows them. Like, he closes his eyes, you play it for him, and he'll tell you to compose it. And I'm like, oh, I can, but he can. And Anna, why am I telling you this, right? I keep thinking, like, these are amazing compositions, but I am so sure that the Levium put them to shame. Okay, in any case, back to this. Put them to shame, especially because they only had ancient musical instruments then, right? They've been much more sophisticated since. You'll see. Okay, now back to this. Again, so now we know, anyone here, based on this, it could be that Hashem would be the Pasuk, not only that Hashem is going to lift me up to the conductor, here is my song. Right, giving you a sense that, yes, he basically was conducting this parak as a song, which is beautiful. I like to even say that every word of this Pasuk, Hashem Adonai Chayli, Hashem, you are my chayil, which also may have been a musical instrument, chayil, v'yasem raglai ka'ayalot. And I hope that you make my feet like ayalot. Again, the ayalot may not mean literally gazelle, but there was a musical instrument called the ayelet hashachar. It was actually called the musical instrument. Again, mizmor al ayelet hashachar. And which, according to many, is a reference to Esther HaMalkah. Right? But the pshat is, that was the name of the instrument that was sung accompanying the Karban Tamid, right, first thing in the morning. And the idea then of, look at this, Vayasim raglai ka'ayalot. Make my, Gena, notice this, Hashem, you are my strength, so make my feet musical instruments, al ba'motai yad v'cheni, and just let me platform very nice. Again, la'minatzeach v'ginotai. What is he basically saying? Hashem, please, let me perform before you. Isn't this beautiful? Let me sing this before you. Let me compose the song. And what does it mean, let me compose the song? Going back to the beginning of Pasuk Bet, and let me compose the song, which is really a victory song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I want this to happen now. Isn't that magnificent? Gena Habakkuk, although I would say in content, again, when you read this, Again, many of the phrases are familiar, but in a very short nevuah, he composes a very complex composition of philosophy, again, together with personal frustration and ultimately national victory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ezrat Hashem, Kena, we have finished, again, 9 out of the 12 Treyasar, but the truth is that we've done more than that. We have completed, if you take a look at this, all the Nevi'im of Bayit Rishon, right? And therefore, next week, our task is to learn Nevi'ei Shabbat Tzion. Yafeh. Again, in the meantime, I have to apologize because many...